builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Father, we love you. Lord, we really need your presence. We need your power. We need your unction, not just in the preaching, but Father, in your folks that are hearing the word of God. Lord, they need to believe the word. You promised us in Thessalonians that if we would believe the word of God would work effectually in our lives. And Lord, we want to be more like Jesus Christ. Father, we want to be the right kind of men. We want to be the right kind of women. We want to have the right kind of marriage, right kind of home that honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and can bring up a godly generation for your honor. So help us tonight, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I hope you single people are taking notes because, you know, you think it doesn't apply to you now, but you're going to need this down the road. And so, I've been preaching to the men. Now listen, I believe this with all my heart. In over 41 years of pastoring and working with people and working with families, I believe most of the problems in the home starts with the man. Yeah, I saw you nod. You could have said amen, Kevin. Yes, amen. Okay, you said why? Okay, here it is. The responsibility God gives the men is to be the head of the house. Is that right? So the head, he determines the course, he determines the atmosphere, he determines what is right, what is wrong. Are y'all with me? And so he has to set the example. And so men, I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age where men want to dump all the responsibility off on the woman. And they just want, they want to hunt and fish and bowl and golf and do this and that and just leave all the responsibilities to the women. That is not right. Are y'all with me? And so the book says, we looked at Proverbs this morning, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And so we saw this morning, you're going to have to overcome your flesh, oversee your family, do right about your friends, love not the world. We saw a godly man is going to be like God. Jonah chapter 2, chapter 4, Joel chapter 2, we saw the Lord is gracious. Amen? The Lord ever treats you like a red-headed stepchild? Has he? Well, you shouldn't treat anyone like a red-headed stepchild. Okay? Gracious. He's merciful. He is ready to forgive us. We should be ready to forgive. Slow to anger. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? I know. Just me and Dawn have anger problems, right? Help me here. I mean, you know, there's a verse in the Bible you and I have down real good. Be ye angry. We don't have any problems with that, do we? Exactly. That's the rest of the verse. And sin not. We got the first part of the verse, be ye angry. But we think somewhere within us we have the right to get angry. And then who do we take it out on? I don't take it out on Dan. I wouldn't take it out on Mrs. Claire. I wouldn't take it out on my daughter-in-law. I would take it out on my wife. Say amen. And it would be behind closed doors. And then, when I get to church, everything would be, oh, sweetheart. And she's looking over, who's this guy? No. We're supposed to be slow to anger. Okay? And then it also says, of great kindness. I was reading this morning, and it talks about pleasant words in Ecclesiastes. It talks about pleasant words in Proverbs. It talks about kind words. It talks about gracious words. The Bible says in Proverbs that there's power of life and power of death in the tongue. So what you can do is you can give your mate life with your tongue, or you can bring death to your mate with your tongue. Amen? Did y'all take a nap today? Okay. I'm going to need a little bit of help here. Okay? And so, listen, okay, I profess to love that woman there. Is that right? Okay, love does what? Think now, think. I know you don't have your TV clicker in your hand. It's hard for you not to think. You don't have your iPhone. You can't Google it. So you're really left to your own devices here. If I really love that woman, love does what? Huh? And I think Scripture here. Love. I am having a hard time tonight. I don't know what it is. Okay? It must be this jacket my wife doesn't like and it's giving bad vibes or something. Okay? No. The Bible says charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Now, look up here, okay? I want you to be 100% honest with me, okay? You've been, you're close. I mean, you're in our house every week. You guys have been with me for over 20 years. You guys have been, I want you to tell me the last time you heard me say something critical about Mrs. Keenan, and I want you to tell me what I said. Now, I'm giving you the option. Here's your chance to take a shot at the preacher, and all I'm asking you to do is be honest. Do you know why I don't have anything bad to say? Because she's perfect. No, she's not. She's got you guys hoodwinked. No, she's not perfect. I love her. I'm not telling you her weaknesses, faults. I love her. Okay, I'll give you another shot. Now I'm really taking my chances now. You've known her for over 20 years. You've known her almost 20 years. You guys, okay, you spend time with her. You were just out drinking coffee and eating apple turnovers the other day or apple fritters or whatever they were. Okay, if you ever heard Mrs. Keenan say something negative or critical about Pastor Keenan, tell me when you heard her say it and tell me what she said. Now, let's be honest here. Miss Claire?
Never happened.
You know why?
You're perfect.
I'm perfect. No, you know I'm not. Why haven't you heard her say that? Because she loves me. I got news for you. If I was visiting somebody's house and they started talking bad about Kevin Angus, you know what I'd say? Whoa! Hi! Kevin's my friend. Kevin is in my church. I said, I don't want to hear what you have to say, because what you have to say probably isn't true. I said, why? He's my friend. I love him. He's my brother in Christ. I'm not going to let people talk bad about my friends, my church members. Are y'all with me? Amen. I said, why? Because love will cover the multitude of sin. Man, when you start thinking you're perfect and you can pick apart everybody else, you're in a bad way. And that's how our Lord is. His words were gracious. So in a relationship, husband and wife, we're supposed to be building each other up. We're supposed to be helping each other to grow, not tear down. Do you know what I did when I married her? Do you know I married her for who she was? When God saved me for who I was. The Lord didn't say, okay, Keenan, you're a wicked pothead, but I'll save you if you quit this, do this, don't do this, and do that. Is that what he said? No, he just said, I love you. Here's eternal life. Why don't you come? Now, God worked in my heart, and I wanted to make changes. Don't misunderstand me, but I wanted to make changes because he loved me and saved me. Now, did I change overnight? Guys, it's taken me 42 years and there's still changes in my life. Do you know what we do? We get on people's cases because they don't grow fast enough. Well, how fast are you supposed to grow, Mr. Expert? Well, you're an expert in everybody's business. Tell me how fast you're supposed to grow. How soon should I have gotten a haircut after I got saved? What was your timetable on that one? Do you understand what I'm getting at? You know what I would think? I would think each one of us has a full-time job taking care of ourselves. And we surely shouldn't be sticking our nose in other people's business and telling them what they should be doing. And then us husbands, I mean, we have the added responsibility of nurturing and loving our wives and then bringing up our children, taking care of the family, providing for them physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I'd say we don't have time to get involved in gossiping and running other people down. And that's not how God operates. Not how he operates. He's of great kindness. And then he repenteth thee of the evil. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have confessed sins to the Lord, and He has forgiven me. And I have gone back, and I have committed the same sins again. And then I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and He's forgiven me. And my Lord has never, He has never, when I've got down and said, Lord, I need to confess this again, He's never said, well, forget it, Keenan. I mean, I've already forgiven you 14 times for that thing. And so, no, I'm not forgiving you no more. That's how He is. He's always ready. Okay, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And so if we're going to be godly like God, we're going to have mercy. We're going to have forgiveness for one another, okay? And I mean, some of us are not going to get it the first 317 times. It'll be the 318th time that we get it. I'm trying to use some humor here, but you got to take this to heart. Sometimes we have high goals for our mate and real low goals for ourselves. Or we have high goals for our children and we won't set the high goal of an example to the children. Do you follow me? And so most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And so let's go to Ephesians 5. I'll go there just for a minute and then we'll go to 1 Peter and I will preach out of there for the night. Ephesians 5. Let's pick up in verse number 23 because we're preaching on the men. I am doing the opposite. The Lord, whenever the Lord deals with the husband and wives in Ephesians, He deals with the ladies first. In 1 Peter, He deals with the ladies first. I'm dealing with the men first just to make you men mad, okay? I'm in Ephesians 5. Look at verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands. This is the first command God gives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, there's not just love in that verse. What is the second thing that's in that verse? Sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. Are y'all with me? I mean, Caleb, when you take on the responsibility of being a husband and you take a wife on, you're not just supposed to love her. There's going to be some sacrifices you make in your life because now you have a wife. And so we're supposed to love that woman. Okay, give me a verse on the love of God. Somebody raise their hand. Just give me a verse on the love of God. Don't think hard. Kathy? Okay, that's charity in 1 Corinthians 13. Say it for me. For God so loved the so God's love is all encompassing. So when you love that woman, you love her for who she is, and you love her completely with her negatives and with her positives. Are y'all with me? It's all-encompassing. Number two, it's self-sacrificing. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's sacrifice, self-sacrificing. The love of God is also never failing. Miss Kathy mentioned 1 Corinthians 13. Charity never faileth. Are y'all with me? Charity never faileth. That's why divorce should not be a topic of conversation with us that are married at this moment and for those that are going to get married as Christians. Do you understand? God hateth putting away, the book of Malachi says. God never was for it. The Old Testament Jews wanted it. Okay, we are not going back in you people's lives. Listen, you're not less of a Christian because you had a bad experience. Do you understand that? Stuff happens. Bad stuff happens. We don't have control over all that. We are going forward for the glory of God and asking God to help us. Are y'all with me? And so it's never failing. I had a man in my church. He was a missionary, Brother Joe Newman. And he was talking to his dad because he thought that he was in love with Mitzi. And he thought Mitzi was the woman that God wanted him to marry. And so his daddy was a good godly man. He was raised in a good Christian home. And he said, Dad, He said, how do I know for sure she is the woman God wants me to marry? Now, he's single. And this is what his dad said in so many words. He said, son, think of this. Think 20 years goes down the road and think that your wife either is in a terrible accident or picks up a terrible disease and she's bedridden. And you're the only one who can take care of her. You have got to feed her. You've got to wash her. You've got to clean up after her. You've got to take care of her for the rest of her life. Are you willing to do that for Mitzi? Picture that. And you know what? Joe was a pretty serious young man. He took that to heart. And he started considering that. What if that happened to my wife? Would I love her enough to take care of her? And Joe prayed about it, and he got the peace of God that that was the woman. And he told Mitzi, he said, this is what my dad said, and this is what I prayed about, and I believe that you're the woman that God would have. So if anything happens to you, I'm going to take care of you. I believe that. I like that. Amen? Sometimes we're just fair-weathered husbands. Amen? I mean to tell you. And so when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, okay, we're supposed to, it's an all-encompassing love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a never-failing love. You know, I'm just going to be honest. Can I be honest with you? Okay, I am 64 years old. I have been married for 42 years. I've had every bad trait that your husbands have, I've had it double. I've had more things to overcome than you. I'm telling you the truth. One of the great victories that God has given me is that I keep my mouth shut sometimes. No, I'm serious. You know, sometimes us Irishmen, the first thought that comes to our mind, we're real ready to put it out our mouth. Well, that first thought sometimes doesn't come from God. It comes from the flesh. And I have just found, just going to be quiet. Just going to see how this rolls for the next few minutes. I have found it a lifesaver. It's lowered my blood pressure. It's caused less static between my wife and I. Now, look at me. I'm sharing my heart with you. Keep your big, fat mouth shut. Huh? Okay. Look at verse number 26 in Ephesians. He said he loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Hey, can I be honest with you? I'm just, listen, this is just old bass, okay? I'm not ashamed of that woman. Preachers come into my house, I introduce her. Okay, we go traveling somewhere, meet other people. I'm not ashamed of that woman. Amen? Now, she probably ought to be ashamed of me, but she's not. Okay? You said, what are you getting at? The Lord's not ashamed of you and I. Okay? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blame. Here's a good one, gentlemen. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man, what? Leave his father and mother, and especially his mother, and shall, that's in the Greek, by the way, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love them as Christ loved the church. You know what a woman, listen guys, there's a difference between men and women, okay? It's not just a physical difference. It's not just a plumbing difference. There's a difference between men and women. There's emotional differences. There's brain differences. I believe the brain sizes are different. I believe the heart sizes are different. I'm just waxing eloquent here just a little bit. Wow is right. They're different. You said, how do you know they're different? Well, number one, because the Bible tells us. But number two, the world's trying to say they're the same. Well, anything the world has to say, you can mark that as being wrong. And so we are different. We are different. A woman needs security. Let's go back to the Song of Solomon. Don't get nervous now. Just go back to Song of Solomon, okay? And y'all shouldn't need dirty books, dirty internet sites or anything like that. You get in your Bible, it'll tell you how to love your wife. Say amen right there. Man, you young people, keep that stuff out of your brains. I'm telling you, if you listen to your preacher, you'll thank me for it 40 years down the road. I'm in the Song of Solomon. Look at verse chapter 4. Let's start in verse number 8. I'm in chapter 4, verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart. They're not courting, by the way. They're married, okay? Amen? And he's still what? Even though he's married, he's what? He's ravished. And ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. He said, what about sister? Well, listen, are you not brothers and sisters in Christ? Amen. So anything God teaches about brothers and sisters in Christ applies to brothers and sisters that are married. Hey, if you have aught against your brother, what are you supposed to do to him? Go to him, talk about it, get it worked out. Well, that happens in marriage, for crying out loud. And if you don't do it, you're not fulfilling the scriptures. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine? And the smell... Is that a exclamation point after wine? Better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Amen. I like perfume on my wife. Amen. I don't want to be smelling body odor now. The other day, I walked into this Amish store, and I... Sounds like y'all been in an Amish store. Now this is the honest to goodness truth. Where Joshua is, there was a woman, an Amish woman, standing there looking at something. And I'm just walking around, and I got this far, and I smelled it. And I had to go outside because I got sick to my stomach. I thought I was going to puke. Look at me. Your husband doesn't want to smell B.O. And your wife doesn't want to smell B.O. So wash up, deodorize, perfume up, and smell good. You don't like that, do you? Hey, I got news for you. You know, Brother Jack, y'all remember Brother Jack? Brother Jack, first time he ever met a man who put cologne on, he thought he's a queer. He thought the guy's putting cologne on because he's going to come on to Jack. Jack took his gun out and says, use it. That's old school. Anyway, I'm just reading the Bible. Am I reading the Bible? Amen. And the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as an honeycomb. You ever eat honeycomb? I love it. I'll buy it. It comes in honey. It has the honeycomb in there. Put it in there. Bite into that. And that honey just it's running out your mouth. It's sweet. It's good, buddy. Do you enjoy kissing your wife? Do you enjoy kissing your husband? Now, I love it. He said, you're an old man. I don't care. Lord, have mercy. It says, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. I wonder how he found that out. Wait a minute, is it the Bible? Hey, so you people that watch TV, watch that dirty stuff, don't you get on my case for reading the Bible. This is a man and a woman that are in love with one another and enjoying the relationship God gave them. Buddy, I still chase my wife around the countertops. I don't catch her as fast as I used to. But I do get her. Catch her eventually when she runs out of breath. Okay? And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. I mean, I could do a lot of preaching on that stuff. Verse 14, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain. What? What is that talking about? Marriage is exclusive. That's the only woman who sets my bells and whistles off. That is the only woman that I kiss on the lips. That's the only woman I share my heart. Do you understand? It isn't. She needs to be secure that she is the only one for me. I tell her I love her. I tell her how pretty she is. I tell her how good her hair looks. You say, what? I love her. I want to build her up. Are we okay? Now that woman has gone down 9 times and had babies. She's had 2 miscarriages, okay? And listen, she's a few pounds heavier than the day we married. But that is not going to affect my love for her. I tell her, I love you the way you are. Say amen right there. Now listen, we should take care of our bodies. Don't misunderstand me there. But if that's all you got is physical stuff, you've got a shallow, shallow relationship. Start judging people just on the outward. Buddy, you're in way, way deep trouble. So, when you love them as Christ, is Christ going to ever stop loving you? Because His love is unconditional. So we're supposed to love them as Christ, and their security. Marital love is exclusive. Not only that, but Christ is complementary. He complements us. I like this about the Proverbs 31 woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. I've never heard Matt criticize Miss Steph. I've heard him talk about what a good mother she is, what a good wife she is, how she does this, how she does that, how she takes care of this. He praiseth her. He said, what are you talking about? It's complimentary. First Peter, we read it this morning. It says, given what? Given honor unto the weaker vessel. You don't tear her down. You build her up. I should seek my wife's welfare, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. This is where men and women are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Women are emotional. Men are not supposed to be as emotional as a woman. A woman would make all her decisions based on what? Emotions. You can't do that all the time. That's why the Lord says she's the weaker. She's not dumb. She's not spiritual. She's just more emotional. So sometimes they'll get so emotional, they'll be saying, well, and you go, whoa, 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 wait, wait, babe, wait. That's not exactly how it is. And then what you do is you try to bring her off that ledge very carefully where her emotions have gotten her. And say, now look, let's just look at this just a little bit differently, and you explain some things and take it. Are y'all with me? Who made women that way? God made them that way. I like it that way. Emotional. Okay? I mean, there's times that I'll just look at her and I can tell something is bothering her. Right? You live with somebody, you know. And you go, is anything bothering you? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, yeah, there's my second clue. So what is it? Emotions. You know, and then I'm waiting for something that is earth shattering because she's crying. She's all upset. And then I say, OK, babe, hey, tell me what's bothering you. And then she'll tell me what it was. And in my pea brain, I'll think, well, that's not earth shattering. And in my younger days, I would look at her and go, is that all? And then it would start all over again. Because it was a big deal to her. So since it's a big deal to her, it has to be a big deal to me. So now when she tells me what's bothering her, and I think that it's just a little thing, I just keep my mouth shut. I go, oh. You want to talk about this? Should we pray about this? No. Is that how the Lord takes care of us? I mean, sometimes we are ready to jump off the ledge and the Lord has to bring us back, does He not? Amen. So God's love gives security. God's love is complementary. And what's the whole deal? That our prayers be not hindered, it says in Peter. I don't want my prayers hindered. I believe that if I love them as Christ, why are you and I where we're at in our Christian lives today? Why have we grown in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord? It's because the Lord has nourished us. It's because the Lord has cherished us. It's because the Lord has forgiven us, because He's given us grace, because He's nurtured us. Is that right? Well, how is your wife doing in your marriage? And if she's not doing well, I think instead of blaming her, maybe you should look on yourself and say, what can I do to nourish her, to cherish her? I think I hit this the other week. But see, your wife growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord isn't you shoving a list at her and say, do this and don't do that. It's about you loving her and praying for her and having grace with her so the Holy Ghost can work in her. And she can grow in the grace of the knowledge. And listen to me. Steph Keenan didn't grow like Mrs. Keenan. Steph Claire didn't grow like Steph Keenan. Aunt Mrs. Angus didn't grow like Catherine. You know, are you with me? I mean, some of us are slow growers, amen? I mean, some of us are just mental retards. No, we are. We are Down syndrome children of the Lord. I'm one of them. I am. Listen, whenever I get around a Down syndrome child, I'm telling you, they just hook up with me. They do. I'm telling you the truth. If you ever find a Down syndrome child and I get around, that kid will be drawn to me like a magnet. I said, why? He's found a like person. I am. I am one of God's retarded children. And the only reason I have gotten as far as I've gotten is because of the grace, the charity, the love, the mercy of God. I think I'm doing pretty good for a retard. Some of you have way too high an opinion of yourself. When you have a high opinion of yourselves, you're critical of others. That's not right. There's nothing right about that. And so I don't want my prayers hindered. I want to promote her growth. I want to promote her growth as a godly woman, as a godly mother, as a godly wife, as a servant of the Lord, as a friend to sinners and saints. I should cherish my wife. Is that what the Bible says? Cherish her. You know, the Bible talks about how God's going to make us rich. And us Americans, we always think it's a dollar bill. Well, I'll tell you what, I've got things that are beyond what a dollar can give. I mean, a Proverbs 31 woman, there's just not a lot of them. The relationship I have with her, okay? There's just so many family things that I get to enjoy, you know. Tim really honored his mom and I recently. If they had a girl, they were going to give her the middle name of Mrs. Keenan's middle name. And then they had a boy, and that poor child is going around with Theodore the rest of his life. But both Rachel and Tim said, we like Theodore. And they honored me. And when we left last Sunday night, and got to the room, they're talking about doing a cesarean. And so I said to Nan, I said, I'd sure like God to answer my prayer. And so I said, Tim, can I pray for your wife? And Brother Weber was there, and Tim was there. And so I put my hand on Tim and Rachel, and I prayed for them. I said, Lord, you know, this girl has been going a long time. They're talking about taking this girl. I said, Lord, would you just speed this thing up so in the next hour she could have this baby? And within that hour, she had got to 10 centimeters, and they said to start pushing, and so she was able to have that baby. He called his mother up, and he said, I called you and Dad, and I asked you and Dad to pray that we would have a baby. He said, the next month is when we had a baby. He said, I know it was your prayers. And he says, you and Dad came in, and they were talking about taking that baby, and Daddy prayed and said, we had that baby, and she didn't have to go through a cesarean. That's a blessing now. But you're going to have to plow some ground and plant some crops and take care of things to have something like that happen. So you cherish that woman. You treat her with tenderness. Hey, if you treat your golf clubs better than you treat your wife, do you think she knows it? If you treat your hunting dogs better than you treat your wife, do you think she knows it? Some guys treat their pickup trucks better than they treat their wives. There's nothing right about that. You're supposed to treat them with tenderness and affection, warmth, comfort, protection, that security there. Am I doing okay? I tell you, and all that I'm talking about, does it come natural? No. Kev, what comes natural to a man? Love himself. Well, that's why the Spirit-filled life, guys, is a daily thing if we're going to have some victory in our lives. to love her like Jesus loves the church, you need the touch of God on your life. You need to, hey, you need the Holy Ghost to shed the love of God abroad in your heart, because you got the love of self. Are we doing okay? Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. I hit on this a little bit this morning, so I'm not going to repeat. I just want to show you some things. Chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We get knowledge from the Word of God. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I think I told y'all, I probably preached a message years ago. There was a book out, and the book was Five Love Languages of Marriage. And it said that the five love languages of marriage was words of affection, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And what the book said is that every man, every woman had one of those languages. Now, I didn't believe that a little bit, okay? Let me go over it. Words of affirmation. Well, who doesn't want that? Huh? I mean, look, I study and I pray. And I try to get God on my messages. And so when I preach, when somebody comes up and says, hey, preacher, that was good preaching. That's words of affirmation. I like that. Amen? When she spends hours preparing meals and all like that, and I eat it and it's good, I tell her, hey, babe, that was a great meal. We ate well tonight. Thank you very much. What is that? That's words of affirmation. Okay? And then the second is quality time. Okay, she has words of affirmation. That's her love language, so I don't have to give her any quality time. Well, that's stupid. Who doesn't want quality time? What's quality time? Quality time isn't you sitting there watching the football game and during the commercials you send her for a soda or something. No, quality time is you and her. And she has your undivided attention. How are we doing here, Kevin? You know, we get a babysitter. You got a built-in babysitter now. And, you know, you take her out and what would you like to do? Oh, you know, she probably wants a banana split or something like that. You know? I'm just kidding. Whatever it is. It's time together. Sometimes you guys think you got to spend a bunch of money to make her happy. And I'm telling you what, the women in this church don't need a bunch of money to make them happy. They just want time with you. They want your undivided attention. So now we got words of affirmation, quality time. Okay, so now the third language, we don't need that one. That's receiving gifts. Who doesn't like to get gifts? I don't like to get gifts. You liar. I love to get gifts. I love to give gifts. Amen? And so, you got to throw that one in. So now they told me I only have one language. Well, they've covered three. I've got all of them. I want words of affirmation. I want quality time. I want gifts. Acts of service. I'm going to tell you a secret about Mrs. Keenan. I'll be in trouble when I get home now. Do you know what she loves? She loves foot rubs. Oh, no, she does. It puts her in heaven. It relaxes her. Did you know that there's a lot of nerve endings at the bottom of your foot? I'll be honest with you, I don't mind them myself. And so you sew a little, and so she'll be in, and I'll just go over and I'll just start rubbing her feet and, you know, doing all like that. So why do you do that? I'm serving her. I'm wanting to make her happy. I'm wanting to give her. Are y'all with me? Now, I've told y'all this before. When my kids were home and they were growing up, I didn't change diapers. I didn't run the vacuum cleaner. I didn't wash dishes. I didn't clean off tables. I didn't do none of that stuff. None. Zero. You know why? I had 9 children. Those 9 suckers were eating me out of house and home. They were sleeping in my beds. Are y'all with me? I put them to work, man. We had teams. This is what y'all need to do. We had teams. Okay, you divided these kids. They were team A. This is team B. This week, team A does this. Team B does this. The next week, they change chores. I'm talking about washing clothes. I'm talking about washing dishes, drying dishes, putting them away. Hey, don't be laughing at me. Say amen. Man, you eat your daddy's groceries. You ought to do some work. Amen. I'll bet you eat a bunch of groceries, too. I'd hate to have his food bill. Anyway, are you all with me? Okay? But then, you know what those kids did? They grew up. They left. They don't check with me about nothing now. Okay, so she works cooking and stuff. Am I going to get up and walk away and let her take care of the dishes and the pot? No. Me and her, we're a great team. I mean, you talk about work, I slave, man. I take that plate, I put it under the water, I stick it into the dishwasher. I mean, I'll work hard. No. I'm with her. I'm serving with her. I want her to know I appreciate her good cooking and everything. I've asked her if she wants me to help cook. No, please don't help. Are we okay? So now we're talking these love languages. I'm at words of affirmation. I'll take that. Quality times, receiving gifts, acts of service. Yay! And then fifth one's physical touch. So, since I got the first four, I can't have the other language of physical touch, right? Yes! I like hugging her. I like holding her hand when we're walking around. I like putting my arm around her. I like kissing her. Are we okay here? So all those things show what? They show that I love her. I'm speaking to her, helping her. I'll never forget this. I was just saved a couple weeks. Walt was a member of the spa I was at. And Walt, I was eating lunch. And Walt sat down at the table. And he said, so what do you think about being saved? I said, oh, Walt, it's great. I said, I'm never going to have another bad day in my life. I was just saved a few weeks. And he said, oh, well, he said, and so he gave me his testimony. He was a drunk and he abused his wife and didn't take care of his family and he got saved. And his wife took him back in. And this is what he told me. He said, Mike, one day you'll get married. He said, every day I try to do three things to be a blessing to my wife that she doesn't know about. I said, really? I said, like what? Now, this is how long. He said, you know, when you take the ice trays out and you crack them and you put them in, he says, I always make sure the ice trays are full every day. These kids are looking at me, ice trays. What's he talking about? And he gave me a couple other, and they were just little things, but he always made sure because he wanted his wife to know that he loved her. And he was trying to minister to her. Am I making any sense tonight? Are you getting some help? And so let me close up on chapter 3 of Peter on some needs of the wife. Finally, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to what? Well, if you're going to dwell with them according to knowledge, you get your knowledge from this. Okay, so what does that wife need to make her a good, godly woman, to make her fulfilled, to make her satisfied? What does she need? I've got a few things with me. Are you with me? Number one, she needs attention. You know, when you were dating or courting or whatever you did, what did you do? You gave her your full attention. You would talk about everything and everything because, are you making faces? Matt didn't do that? Oh, yeah, he did. I remember they came home from their honeymoon. And they stayed in the bedroom right below the master bedroom where we were at. And Nan and I are trying to go to sleep, and they're just yapping away, man. That's a good thing. And you know what? They still do it. I said to Matt the other day, Pastor Matt, I said, hey, listen, I know you got to go to the airport early. I'll come over and I'll take you down there. And he goes, no, Dad, that's okay. He said, Steph's going to take me down. I said, Matt, don't wake up the kids and all. Oh, we got that covered. Charity's coming over to take care of business and everything. I said, Matt, why don't you let your wife sleep? Dad, it'll be okay. And I was talking to Steph. You know what she told me? He just loves that last hour that we're together before we leave. I thought that was pretty romantic. He didn't get that from me. Are we okay? You don't have to be just like somebody. Let God make you the man. Let God make you the woman He wants you to be. And so they need attention. Now, listen to me. That includes communication. Okay? The other day, I told my wife, I said, hey, I said, this week is going to be the PGA Championship. That's golf, you know? She looks over at me and goes, so? I said, I was just letting you know. She's not interested in that kind of stuff. So he said, what do you communicate about? What she wants to talk about. Okay, she's always reading a book. She's always reading devotionals. Are y'all with me? Talk about the Lord. Talk about the Bible. Talk about the children. Talk about the grandchildren. I mean, guys, time goes fast. We try to spend time in the summer with the grandchildren, do stuff with the grandchildren. And we talk about, and so you need to give her your attention. Now, here it is, guys. You're out working, okay, 8 hours a day, traveling a couple hours a day. But that woman is at home with the children. She needs some adult conversation from the one who says he loves her. So find out what she wants to talk about and talk about it. And don't put her down. Don't criticize her. Communicate with her. That's good preaching, Brother Keenan. I'm telling you what a woman needs to make her fulfilled, to nourish her. She needs affection. I'm not just talking about the conjugal relationship. I'm talking about affection, a kind touch, a kind word, a hug, a pat, whatever it might be, a kiss. She needs appreciation. Okay? I preach, you'd say, good preaching, preacher, that kind of stuff. She needs appreciation. Great meals. You keep my house clean. My underwear's always there. My clothes are hung up, etc., etc. Are we okay here? Let her know you appreciate what she does, taking care of the children and all like that. She needs approval. You're doing a good job. I appreciate the good job. Hey, I appreciate you serving the Lord. Are y'all with me? She needs your approval. Some women, guys, in 41 years of pastoring, women come into me, and the most popular thing, when I say popular, I just mean most women that are having marriage problems, you know what they tell me? My husband doesn't love me. I don't want that woman to ever think for a moment that I don't love her. That's my responsibility. Do you know what men say? My wife doesn't respect me. My wife doesn't respect me. That comes with reverence. When we preach on the ladies next week, I'll preach about that. Hey, it says women are supposed to submit to their man, but it also says she's supposed to reverence is the forgotten command to men, to ladies today, to reverence their husbands. Amen? We'll get into that. But anyway, she needs your affection. She needs your appreciation. She needs your approval. And then the last one is she needs your devotion. She needs, in other words, she needs to know that after Jesus Christ, she is number one in your life. The most important. I've shared this with you many times when I was a young preacher. I loved going to meetings and I loved being with my preacher friends. And the truth of the matter is, I would rather be with my preacher friends than I wanted to be with my wife. And I was wrong. It was sin. And she never nagged me. She never exploded at me. But God, the Holy Ghost, revealed it to me. And I had to go to her and I had to tell her that I was wrong. And I had to ask her forgiveness. And then I had to ask God to turn my heart that I'd love her and I'd make her number one in my life after Jesus Christ. And I wanted her to know that that was sincere. And there's nobody I'd rather be with today than that woman right over there. As long as her and I are okay, we can face all the onslaught of the devil, of the world, the flesh, the enemies, whatever it might be. But as long as I got her by my side, I'll be okay. I want her to know she's the only one that's for me. Are y'all with me? Love her as Jesus loved the church. Now, what's one of the biggest obstacles? And this is my last point tonight. Go to Colossians chapter 3. What's one of the big obstacles between men and women? Men getting bitterness in their hearts against their wives. Colossians 3, look at verse 19 with me. Husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against them. Bitter. I looked it up in the dictionary. It's to be irritated, to make bitter, embitter, to prick. Sharp words, reproachful, sarcastic, sharp to the feeling, piercing, painful, hurtful. We need to root bitterness out and replace it with the love of God. Are y'all with me? Be not bitter. What can a man get bitter with a woman over? Huh? Look up here. That's exactly right. A man can get bitter at a woman and take a little bitterness and blow it up into a major bitterness over just about anything. That's not your wife's fault. That's your fault. God told you to love them and be not bitter against them. That is not the woman's fault. That's the man's fault. Do you see why I preach to the men first? Do you see, guys, I have not covered everything, but do you see how all-encompassing the responsibility is that a man has, that that woman be a fulfilled, godly, virtuous woman by the grace of God? So we need to root that bitterness out. Hey, let me close with this illustration. Do you remember when Hannah was in bitterness of spirit because she wasn't having a baby? Do you remember what her husband Elkanah said to her before she got in a family way? He said this, "Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not?" He knows something's wrong with her. This man loved Hannah. There's no question about that. He said, "Why is thy heart grieved?" And this is what he said. "Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Now look up here. This is what I think. I think that man was a good husband. But you know what you're never going to do on a woman? You're never going to replace having children with the love of a husband. God made women to do what? Have babies. It's just what God intended for them to do. But this man was determined to love his wife, Hannah, better than if she had 10 sons. And I challenge us men, we should have a desire in our heart to be better to our wives than if they had 10 sons who honored them and loved them and took care of them. Are we okay? Let's pray. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Y'all mind the Lord.